Today we are reading 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 6. I, Paul, myself entreat you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away, I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of Christ, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Here in the beginning of 2 Corinthians 10, we have a distinct shift in tone from the previous section. If you remember, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 were about generosity, with Paul encouraging the Corinthians to be cheerful givers who help out their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem who are in need. Paul was certain that the Corinthians would be faithful and would be ready to give. These are the last few verses before today's passage. By their approval of the service, they, the recipients of the Corinthians' giving, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Again, Paul is clear in the previous chapters of his confidence in the Corinthians to give. Yet in these verses today, Paul shifts to defending his ministry and addressing those in the Corinthian church who may be doubting his ministry. In verses 1 and 2, Paul entreats them and begs them that he doesn't have to show as much boldness to the Corinthians as those who are opposing him. Those who oppose him are saying that Paul and his companions walk according to the flesh. In other words, these false apostles are saying that Paul is a false apostle who doesn't walk by true faith in God. Also, they are trying to corrupt the Corinthians into thinking that Paul is only bold in writing, but not in person. Basically, Paul is begging the Corinthian church to not be led astray by these false apostles who are talking smack about him. It's like in the Lord of the Rings movies, where Gollum tries to turn Frodo against Sam, I think in the third movie, and when it works a bit, when Frodo starts to believe in Gollum a bit more than Sam, Sam is really frustrated. And here, you can sense Paul's frustrations because he sees his opponents having some success in leading the Corinthians, who he loves dearly, astray. Paul's opponents claim that he walks according to the flesh, to which Paul writes that this couldn't be further from the truth. Verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Paul points out that yes, he walks in the flesh, in the physical world, but the war that he wages is not according to the flesh. Of course, he means that the battle is spiritual. As Christians, we believe in spiritual warfare and spiritual battle because we are much more than just our physical beings. Like Paul in verse 4, we have weapons of warfare that are not physical weapons of the flesh. Our spiritual weapons are prayer and spiritual authority, the ability to command the effects of sin to yield to God's kingship. When we pray, strongholds of the enemy are destroyed. Jesus showed his followers then and now what this power looks like. Jesus commanded evil spirits out of people, and he commanded healing. And his followers, his disciples, did the same. Verses 5 and 6 show more of what spiritual warfare looks like. It means destroying arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, as well as taking every thought captive to obey Christ. The false teachers among the Corinthians were teaching things that would lead to self, to sin, and to death. Paul is able to combat those through the truth of the gospel, where every thought belongs to God. Whether it's selfishness, greed, lying, jealousy, anger, all of those thoughts are taken captive to obey Christ. In verse 6, Paul is looking forward to completing the Corinthians' obedience, where they are in line with following Jesus. And when that happens, all disobedience, everything else that's not of God, will be punished. If we are followers of Jesus, this idea of waging spiritual warfare is fundamental to our faith, where we do not live according to the flesh, but we live in the spiritual realm too, where there's a spiritual battle going on for our souls and other people's souls. We know this, but at the same time, it is so easy to forget and so easy to disengage. Some reasons are, one, the physical is right before us. Our physical eyes can obviously see things, and we're constantly looking at them. It's really easy to focus more on the physical. Two, another reason why it's easy to disengage is that there's an enemy who is trying to make us disengage from the spiritual warfare through confusion or discouraging us in different ways, through temptations. And three, along with that, sin makes the thoughts that are not in line with Jesus attractive to us. Sin warps things. I want to encourage us by highlighting verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And the encouragement for us is that God has not left us on our own, unequipped for the war. Rather, God has given us spiritual weapons, just like Paul and just like Jesus, to live victoriously. Though we may not feel it all the time, the truth is that when we pray, God hears us and responds to our prayers when we ask for his power to destroy strongholds of the enemy. He has made a way to take every thought captive to obey Christ. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, enables us to focus on the spiritual and to do things like overcome anger, overcome hatred, ask for God's peace, to forgive, and so on. And also, as a community, we can contend together by praying together and encouraging one another, just like Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church, to speak truth into one another's lives. Today, let's reflect on how we are doing in engaging in the spiritual war that we are in. What adjustments, maybe major adjustments, do we need to make to use the weapons that God has given us? Personally, it's been great being on these devos, but I think I need to be spending time in prayer. For example, taking breaks from work to walk outside and pray to God. Especially in light of all the turmoil going on in our country, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to walk according to his thoughts and not according to the flesh. As the Holy Spirit brings his thoughts and his ideas to us, let's walk in them in obedience to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and God, thank you for giving us what we need for this spiritual warfare. Lord, I pray that you would not allow us to disengage, just not care about things going on, and just not ignore what you're doing around this. But God, help us to engage in this battle for our souls and for our neighbor's souls. God, help us to intercede for this world, to not give up, but to persevere and to do this together. God, we need your perseverance. We need your spirit to stir up endurance, to stir up this joy to keep going. And God, we need your love and your wisdom, not our own. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.